New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hesse Low V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
We're going to bring y'all into our huddle.
You're in the Warriors Huddle with me, Bram, and with me, per usual, my master of all things video and sound, Maxime.
How's it going?
Maxime, I couldn't really ask you a follow-up during our last pod. I was too busy trying to impress Kylan Mills. How was France, dude? How was that trip? How'd the whole thing go?
Yeah, you know, I was there to do some scouting because I'm sure to your chagrin, it seems like the future of the NBA and basketball in general is French. Victor Wembanyama, now Alex Sarr and Reece Hoshea. So, you know, just trying to soak it up and see if I can glean something about how the other continent does it.
Why don't you shut up? That take was much better. If you had dropped this last year, like, okay, dude, yep, Wemby's coming in, the future of everything. If your second name is Alex Sarr and you're crowing about a draft that everyone has labeled a gigantic bust, just settle down. Just settle down as much as you can. While you were out there, anybody recognize you from the pod? Do we have any like international followers who are like Maxime or like master of all things video, anything like that?
So yeah, so many. It was exhausting. You know, I had paparazzi and eventually couldn't go outside. So, but no surprise there.
And then they all knew that you were there to scout the future of the NBA. So
exactly,
they gave
right.
you a little bit of space. That is, my ongoing dream is to run into a listener out in the wild and then play it cool, like pretend like it's not a big deal, but it will be the biggest deal that has ever happened. Surprisingly, I didn't start this podcast only to talk about your international travels and my own pompous nature, man. The offseason is officially upon us. How you feeling? If you had to reduce your feelings, you can go more than a word if you need to. But if you had to reduce your feelings to as short of a response as you can give, now that we are literally day one into the offseason, how are you feeling about this offseason?
Oof. That type of muscle soreness that happens when you've overexerted, you know, it's like my butt has been puckered for so long, I'm just now tired.
I am strangely thankful heading into this offseason. And it sounds a little defeated. It sounds a little defeated. But here's where I came to last night while watching Jason Tatum raise his son into the rafters and confetti, you know, spraying all over the place. I think while the Warriors were flying to six finals appearances and four titles, even though I said as many times as I could into this mic, enjoy it, appreciate it. You know, let this slip by. I did not enjoy it the way I should have. I did not appreciate it as much as I could have. And I did let this shit slip by. And now that we're far away, maybe from another, you know, certainly not from another title possibility, but from another dynastic push, I'm thankful that we had it, man. You know, it hit me last night that we actually did go on that incredible journey. And so if it doesn't happen again, if we're not one move away from going to another six finals, then okay, at least we actually had it in pocket. So what do you think? You've heard it. I've talked myself into that as being like happy. Is it really just repackaged defeatism? You know, is that just a very pessimistic take that I'm putting in an optimistic package?
I think the listeners are very confused because even though you sound like Bram, it seems like we've reversed roles here. You're like suddenly the same rational one. But to your point, actually, the fact that the Nuggets didn't repeat, even though that was all but assured by Mike Malone at the end of last season, is even more of an indication of how hard it is to actually be a dynastic, to actually go back to back. And so it does make me appreciate even more, not just the 17 and 18 titles, but also the 2022 title. It's just we're so fortunate to have had such a sustained level of success. And even though we weren't in the finals this year, Steph is still an incredibly bright spot in the league. I'm so excited to watch him in Paris. It is a reminder of just how lucky we are to be Warriors fans.
There's that meme. I always misuse that phrase. I hope it's a meme. The picture of Wolverine longingly looking at a picture and touching it, you know, and then they put different things in there to illustrate whatever it is you're missing. I was Wolverine last night touching the picture of Steph pointing at his finger in Boston, like throughout the night, like so many times. I watched it at the Athletic Club, Oakland, the bar we used to have at the Forum. I enjoyed it. And I would say every 5 to 10 minutes, a fuck the Celtics chant came out. Never like super lusty and loud, but it was out there. F the Celtics, clap, 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 clap. And every time that happened, when it stopped and the game would start back up, and you know, it was very obvious that Boston was speeding towards their 18th ring, I would take out that picture of Steph pointing at his finger and then just lightly touch it on my phone. Whatever. You know, you're weird, not me. Don't you worry about all of that. Maxime, I got a bunch of Warriors offseason questions here. But before we do, let's wrap up the season with a glass half full. You remember, this is when we look back at recent basketball. I'll give you something you like or don't like. There's only one game since the last time we did this. It's just the finals pulling it out. And the Celtics earning the 5-0 gentleman sweep over the Mavs. What do you got, man? Anything you like or don't?
I don't want to be a hater. I mean, I do want to be a hater. I hate the Celtics. But I think this is a deserved title. A lot of people, you know, Tatum had that quote. What was it after game three where he's like, nobody's going to give us our flowers. We're going to have to come back and do this again next year, which was a bold ass quote before you've actually won anything. But I'm, you know, glass half empty for a boring ass finals as far as I'm concerned. But glass half full again to be reminded, just like you said about Steph, I think Tatum played scared all the way until he knew basically in the second half of that game of game five that he was going to win the title. Granted, he did other things besides score at a very high level, but you know, he did not show up in the ways that he was most needed to. Jaylen Brown ends up winning finals MVP. We'll see if this emboldens him to play a little bit better next year, but like, just such a boring superstar. I was not excited. Even if I was a Boston Celtics fan, there's just no way there's that same level of elation happening right now as you get when you care about somebody the way we care about Steph Curry. So I'm back to what we were saying before, but the glass half full is, man, I'm so glad that we have Steph and not Jason Tatum, even if they're 10 years apart in age.
Somewhere at the end of college, I don't know, second year, third year, I guess not end, somewhere in the middle when I decided, look, I'm going to go to law school and I wanted to get better grades than I had started my career in college with. I would pay attention and do whatever I could to put my finger on the scale. And that included if I went through like the beginning of a class, didn't nail the midterm, and now there's only a couple weeks left and I wanted to really impress the professor so that I could walk away with as high of a grade as I could, I'd just fire off thousands of questions towards the end, as many questions as I could, and go to fucking, you know, office hours and turn in extra assignments, all only towards the end of the semester. Jason Tatum in the third and fourth quarter of game five felt exactly like that. And it was like, no, it's not too late. Finals MVP. Watch this. I can score all the points and I'm the most important person and I'm going to be so demonstrative. You know, I'm going to do everything. And then at the end of the day, what happened to him is what happened to me. You should have done the work early on or you're probably not going to walk away with the finals MVP or in my case, the A I do desperately want it. What I have. So it's not even a glass half full or a glass half empty, really just an observation. And it's at Tatum. And another random story. Way back when I went to school in London, an experience I haven't talked about here. And I don't know, maybe like 2-3 days in, the school I went to sent us to a play. And they wanted to like just introduce us to like what it felt like to go to plays out there. And they said it wasn't like a classic play. It was a bullshit play. It was a one person's rendition of all of Harry Potter.
Oh,
so
wow.
This one dude went up there and would just hit the highlights of various Harry Potter books. So it felt like you were like watching through. It was funny, but it would also be recognizable, right? The thing I noticed from last night was Jason Tatum post game after they won,
oh boy,
doing the one man's rendition of all the finals events that we might recognize. That fool had a impersonation of KG doing the anything is possible. He had the rendition of Steph's What They Gonna Say Now. And he even sampled in Kanye in a, you know, what were they going to say if we didn't win? We won't find out. In fact, there was a TikTok account that pointed some of this stuff out. If we've got that video, let's play it now.
We did it. We did it! Anything's possible. Anything's possible!
gonna say now? What they gonna say now?
What are they gonna say now? M-I-C-K-E-Y. What are they gonna say now?
I know everybody was wondering what would happen if he didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
Everybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
The vocal inflections, the pause in between, it's not just the words, Maxime. Like, it's almost as if he was like, okay, you pause 3 seconds between what they're going to say now before you say it again. What they're going to say now. And he just nailed it. I just, you know, like I said, neither half full nor empty, just something I noticed. Impressive stuff by JT.
Impressive is not, that was just felt so cringy to me. I mean, it was the anything is possible one was just so freaking obvious. It made me uncomfortable. I can see him sitting in his living room, staring at himself in the mirror, practicing that over and over again. And like, that's just get a new, like come up with something new. This is so derivative. The whole thing just feels like it's a, I don't know. It was lame to me, quite lame.
When this happened, I was still at that bar. I had been watching most of the game with a friend, but they had left by the time they were doing like post-game interviews, that kind of stuff, you know? And so I'm sitting at a table with a lot of other people who had been watching the game, but I don't know any of them. And I immediately think Kevin Garnett. I mean, like, you can't not think that. And the person across from me leans over to his friend and says, Kevin Garnett, something like that. And I did that move I hate when other people do, where I like inserted myself in the conversation for them. I was like, yeah. Kevin Garnett, and they both looked at me with the unmistakable look of, please stop talking to us. Like, whatever needs to happen for you not to be a part of this conversation, let's let that happen. And so that was pretty good. Then I left. So I did not make any best friends at the bar last night. Maxime, let's jump into the Warriors offseason. All right, I got a segment here that I'm going to call Pick One. So there's a whole lot of things we're worried about heading into this Warriors offseason. Decisions that Mike D and the rest of the front office needs to make. We're not going to be able to cover all of them in a single pod. Thankfully, we'll have content throughout the summer here. But I have identified some of these. All right, so in Pick One, I'm going to give you two things that could happen, and we're going to answer two questions every time. One, what's the more likely of these two things? Two, if it were up to you, which would you prefer? All right, let me give us one to start with. Here's your two options. Draymond Green plays in every single game during next season. No more suspensions, no injuries. He plays across the board, 82 games. Or during this offseason, Klay Thompson signs a contract for less than $24 million. Start with what's more likely, Draymond Green at 82 games or Klay Thompson for less than 24?
I think it is slightly more likely that Klay signs a contract for less than $24 million. But I don't think either of those are very likely. So I don't know. What do you think?
At this stage, after the pictures were deleted from his account and everything that's been said, and this is me just being melodramatic, I think it's more likely that Draymond Green plays 83 games during the regular season next year than Klay Thompson signs for less than $24 million. To be less jokey, I don't think either of these things happen. I'm not saying Klay Thompson doesn't sign here, but I am saying I don't think he signs for $24 million or less, which goes to the, which would you prefer? Which would I prefer? Klay Thompson signs for less than $24 million. I'm making this easy with a number. You know, 82 games is an ass ton of games. And so if we could sacrifice some, you know, Draymond misses 10 and we welcome Klay Thompson in and we've got a break on the overall tax bill and maybe get underneath that apron. It makes sense to me. If I put the number, Draymond at like 60 games, if he misses the same amount of games as he missed last year versus Klay at $24 million, it's harder. You know, I may pick Draymond there, but I didn't put us in that mental cage, man. It's phrased as is.
Well, you know, the truth of the matter is there is some cause and effect between these two things. This is a bit of a depressing thing to say, but there's a chance that Draymond would miss more games out of frustration to leading to technicals if Klay is still on the team. There's a lot to be said. As much of a fantastic presence as Klay is in a locker room, as much as we're grateful for his contributions. He's not the same person that he was anymore. And I think that frustrates Draymond, who's such an incredibly high IQ player and needs the offense to be free-flowing to be the best version of himself. So to have Klay as kind of a roadblock who's only going to age in the wrong direction might piss off Draymond a little bit more than if Klay wasn't there and we had somebody else that was, you know, Zach LaVine or sort of a younger version that could at least still flow within the offense.
I've been pretty clear how much I respect and support Dre. I think he is an incredibly important piece to this organization. And even last year, I think that some of the shit he did on the floor that led to off the floor problems weren't a giant surprise to me. I think he has been Draymond Green his entire tenure here, and that's helped lead to the dynastic success we've had. But some of the quotes recently, man, that quote from his pod where he was talking to Loon saying, yeah, you know, after the Jordan Poole thing, I had to miss 20 games because I showed up late at least 20 times because it was a little awkward for me in that locker room. Or even recently when he said what Klay Thompson did with the social media stuff was hilarious. I don't know. It's hit me in a weird place. It reminds me of the look he gave to the camera after he got thrown out of that game and Steph cried in. Mm. And then he met Steph in the locker room and hugged him and then looked in the camera like, oh, I know that you guys don't like this, but I'm going to do it anyways. Some of these quotes feel a little like that. But we've got some Draymond stuff coming down the line. So instead, don't follow up on that. Let me give you another question. Here's your two options. Jonathan Kuminga averages more than 35 combined points and rebounds. Any way you want to do it. You know, 25 and 10, however you want to split that up. Or Andrew Wiggins returns to his 2022 All-Star form. What is more likely? Which would you prefer? What do you got?
Both the former. JK getting 35. That's a big number. We should dissect that a little bit. But before we get into the nitty-gritty of it, I think, one, it's sort of like with the previous question with Klay and Draymond. On one, we haven't seen it yet, which is Klay leaving the Warriors. On the other, we have. We have a lot of history that Draymond's not really the most sane person over an 82-game season. I think the same thing is here. As we talked about last time, JK has the ability to ascend to a great level. We just saw Jaylen Brown win the whole thing, including finals MVP, on a similar trajectory to what JK theoretically could be on right now. And at the same time, we see Wiggins continue to crap the bed for us. So I'm going to go with what I see on the court, what history proves to us, which is that Wiggins has something going on.
I can come up with some reasons why JK may be able to get over 35 combined. You know, the development that you just alluded to, we spent a whole podcast last week kind of breaking that stuff down. I cannot explain to you what happened to Wiggins' numbers, why they went down. So I also can't explain to you why they would go up. I have no idea. So what's more likely? Jonathan Kuminga. What would I prefer? Jonathan Kuminga. If that happens, what that means going forward, I mean, let's go a reverse analysis. Wiggins gets back to All-Star form. It doesn't mean anything necessarily for, you know, 3-4 years in the future. It just means we get to really enjoy Wiggins being back to, you know, second best player status on the team, naturally not in the league. But if JK gets there, if this is what he does next year, what that could mean 4-5 years from now is incredible, man. You know, he's making that leap that we were hoping he was going to make, that we talked about at length last podcast. So yeah, same way, man. What's more likely? JK hitting these numbers, which would I prefer? JK hitting these numbers. Do I think he does it? No. We'd probably have to knock that number down a little. You know, we put it at 30, right around. I think he can do that. 35 is probably a little high.
I agree. That's a big number. Those who are watching can see my eyebrows raise. It's definitely a big jump from year three to year four. But I will say what we just saw in these finals is an indication team rebounding is going to be important. I know he's not at the guard position, but both Jrue Holiday and Derek White showed out on the glass in a way that, right, they made team rebounding a thing. So I would love to see JK get more rebounds. I would love for, in general, that to continue to be a point of emphasis. And maybe have that spread out a little bit more, because I think that's the only way not the only way, but that's going to be a big part of what's going to bring us back into the playoff mix.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all New Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.
Looking backwards again, a couple of Adam Silver questions for you that just popped into my head. So, I mean, Adam Silver right now is negotiating an enormous television deal. You know, I mean, like billions with a B, and a lot of those billions. And all the people who he is selling this product to are watching right now, you know, and it's not breaking news to say that the finals were kind of boring.
Oh, man.
Nobody wants to see a sweep. Gentlemen sweep isn't that far off. And the games weren't uber competitive, you know? Right. So if you're Adam Silver and this is happening, like, what do you deal with? How do you do this? Are you like sending clips of prior finals to NBC and they're like, no, don't worry. You know, like, strange year, but we were pretty good. Like, how do you somehow get over the fact that if they're watching, they might not want to spend, you know, nine figures on the product they're seeing?
This is so, I mean, Adam Silver shot himself in the foot. Right. Like, I think, frankly, like, if you're really being future vision on this, I might be like, hey, just so you know, no worries. I'm retiring in a couple of years as Adam Silver. Seriously, the way that he constructed parity across the league is not in the best interest of great finals games. It would be much better to have a slew of maybe six or eight teams at the top that are fantastic, because with this much parity, you don't have the elite level of stars. It's more of the role players, you know, as we talked about a lot, or as you hear a lot in the discourse about the finals, it's players 3 through 6 through 7 on the Boston team that really made the difference. I heard an interesting conversation that if you flipped those bench players or the second half of the starters for the Mavericks and the Celtics, the Mavs probably would have won the finals. And I think that's a very interesting take, right? It's more to say that parity is what makes it work. That leads to boring ass finals. So I think I would also try to take as much of the coverage away from ESPN as possible, because I know that's not the on-court product, but it doesn't help that the off-court product is more boring than what's happening during the 48-minute countdown.
I like that you're saying that Silver should contemplate fucking retirement. I'm hard the other side.
Wow.
I think that if this deal goes through, and every indication on earth is that it will, if this deal goes through, then every other professional league on earth needs to make Adam Silver their commissioner today. If he's able to sell it at that high while watching these finals, it'd be like, you and I are in negotiation. I'm trying to sell you my car. And the last thing you see of it is the car breaks down on the freeways and like giant flames. And then I'm still able to complete the sale at like above blueback value. You know, if he can somehow negotiate this, credit to him. But let me weaponize it a little bit. Back up to game three. The Mavs seemed on the precipice of an enormous comeback. Dallas had been leading the entire game. Boston had been leading the entire game. Dallas comes screaming back in the fourth quarter. And with about 3 minutes left, Luka takes a block / charge that's called for his sixth foul. And Luka says immediately and demonstrably, challenge that fucking call, right? And they challenge it. And we can see through the replay that it was probably a block. It's right called, you know, and that's going to be it. That means that Luka is out of the game. That means that Dallas is most likely going to go down 3-0. That means the series is over. Second Adam Silver question. If you were Adam Silver and Sekakis calls you in that moment, you know, whoever it was who did the replay, and they're like, Adam, I'm looking at it, dude. I'm looking at it. It was a block. I think they're right. But shit. If we call it this way, Luka's out. The series is over. You've got nine figures of negotiation on the table. Silver, what should we do? Should we keep him in or should we toss him out? Because I tell you what David Stern would say. David Stern would have been like, not only was that not a block and a charge, little known rule, we're actually giving Dallas 3 points because of that charge. And it's weird. It's a tie game now. And Dallas gets the next three possessions because there's no fucking way he was going to throw him off the floor and allow Boston to go up 3-0. So if you were Adam Silver, you get that call. What do you do? Do you, you know, letter of the law, enforce the block? Or, I mean, come on, man. This is a television show. Luke is a very important character. You don't want him out for the end of that show.
So here's what I would do. I would be David Stern, but using Adam Silver's modern access to the billions of dollars that he has, I would say, okay, we're stopping all replays. And really quickly, we're using some AI to get his other foot down. And when these go out, we're just changing what actually happened. So some maybe if you saw it, some deep fake shit. I'm serious. Because it would be such a way to tarnish the league. And I think back to the earlier point, right? Adam Silver is selling out the long-term best interest of the league for short-term value. I think it's going to come back to bite him, but we don't have to get all the way into that here. It's the same thing. Unless you could deep fake your way out of it, it's not like the whole NBA would see that as so egregiously the finger on the scale that I think it would end up really tarnishing how people view the NBA, like that. And that's not what we want.
I like the idea of them releasing, like, here's an angle you guys didn't see. And as part of the deep fake, they have Jaylen Brown screaming, "This is a charge." It's like, weird. I can't stop my momentum. I'm charging against Luka right now. It's like, oh, you know, we just had to honor this view.
Oh, hey, I noticed that. Yeah, Luka has 17 toes on his right foot. I guess that just happened for this play.
Man, they're all down on the ground, all of them. Not one of those 17. We're moving back to the Warriors. Another choice, man. Steph makes all NBA next year, or another Warrior makes the All-Star game. What's more likely? What would I prefer? What's more likely? Steph makes all NBA.
Yeah.
What would I prefer? Another Warrior makes the All-Star team. Steph's excellence is unquestioned. Whether or not it's rewarded with another all NBA or not, I mean, it doesn't matter to me at this stage. The addition of another All-Star, you know, whoever it is, if it's Kuminga, if it's Draymond, if it's Wiggins, if, you know, Podziemski has like some incredible ascension, who knows? But the impact another All-Star would have on this team would be way more as far as pushing us towards a championship contention than Steph being his usual brilliant self. Because Steph's brilliance to me is already insured. It's the other guys we need to step up from.
Yes, no question. And in fact, at this point, the only thing that I would want more for Steph is a fifth ring. And that's only going to happen if there's another All-Star on the squad. So it's in everybody's best interest.
Perfect transition. Last one for at least today. Up to you, Steph. Up to you, Steph. Up to you, Maxime. The Warriors win another title with Steph Curry on the roster. He gets his fifth. Or the big three all retire together. What's more important to you?
Steph. 100%. And I mean, not just because I just said it and I need to back myself up, otherwise I look like a flip-flopper. But at this point, we've talked about some of the reasons why Draymond has disappointed us recently. I still love him. I still have his jersey hanging in my closet. He's still one of my all-time favorite players. Absolute genius. And some of his recent antics have made it so that my love for him is a bit diminished. Klay will always be a fantastic Warrior, and a huge part of what made the past decade of my fandom so great. But come on. I mean, Steph deserves so much of this, so much more. And if that means that we have to break up the big three in order to get him there, please, Mike Dunleavy Jr., make it happen.
It's a first for me too. Another championship for Steph. I've said a lot of different ways what a fifth title would mean for Steph, the stratosphere that would put him in, and how it changes his legacy, changes who he is. As much as I'd like to see the big three all retire together, I don't think that changes their legacy. I understand some people it does, and I understand it's a different thing. For me, it doesn't. I was thinking about this recently with the Klay Thompson shit and the idea that he might be going to Orlando and other places. I don't like it. But I also don't think it's the main story. I think focusing on that now is like having the tail wag the dog. It's the epilogue. Here's what I mean. Certain types of movies, we normally see it in like war movies, sports movies have it. We have the main story. And then at the end, the last 30 or 40 seconds, they give us updates on the characters. You know, this character went on to, you know, whatever it is, to become a substitute teacher and live till he was 35. I mean, they give us what happened with the characters we just spent 2 hours with in really quick little vignettes, and off it goes. It's not the story. It's how the story ended. That's where we are now. It's the epilogue. after they went to six fucking finals, after they won four titles, then the title card comes up and then we see a little blurb about Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson went on to play two more seasons for the Orlando Magic before coming back and having a statue made with Golden State. You know, that's not the defining portion. It's the last 10 seconds of the movie. So, I mean, that's, I think, where we are. Epilogues can be disappointing. You know, they don't always play the way we want, but they certainly don't dictate how I feel about the story. The story's already been told to me. So, yeah, I would prefer to have a fifth title with Steph for sure.
Man, the epilogue is it's exactly right. I mean, I nothing that Klay does now is going to take away what he's already done for this franchise. The amount of like ridiculous takes that are coming out from people who maybe just started becoming Warriors fans yesterday, it kind of disgusts me. Let the man get his bag. Let him do what he wants to do. It changes nothing. He's still going to get a statue. All of those memories are still going to be there. I don't care if he goes to China and plays. Have a great time, Klay. Live your life. It doesn't change anything about what you've done here.
They did a movie about like the Olympics or something about somebody who won, you know, 100 gold medals in swimming. And then the epilogue was like after he won those whole 100 gold medals, he was a bronze medalist as a hammer thrower. I wouldn't then be telling people, you remember that hammer thrower? You know, like, oh, what about that? It's like, no, dude, that guy will always be known for the 100 medals he won in fucking swimming. Like, who gives a shit about the hammer throwing portion? You know, then maybe like that one day as it's happening, like, oh, weird that he's out here doing this different sport. But his legacy will always remember the front part. It just is what it is. Okay. New segment and one I am excited for, Maxime. All right. We're calling this one Mind Games. And here's the idea. So early in the finals series, and we alluded to this a little bit last week, Jay Kidd took to the podium and casually dropped that Jaylen Brown, not Jason Tatum, that Jaylen Brown was the best player on the Celtics. In fact, it looks like we've got that quote. Let's go ahead and play it now.
What makes going against a guy like Jaylen so challenging?
Well, Jaylen's the best player. So just looking at what he does defensively, he picked up Luka full court. He got to the free throw line. He did everything, and that's what, you know, your best player does, you know, just
love that he said it twice. Love that he said it twice. And my idea on this, and I'm not alone, is that Jay Kidd recognized somewhere along the line, their talent didn't match up with Boston. And so he had to play some mind games. He had to say something in that podium to get in the Celtics' head and hopefully divide them any way he could. What the hell could you do? You know, play the cards you've been dealt. Maybe this will make a difference. And I love that concept. So for mind games, we get to do an impersonation of Jay Kidd, the evil genius. We pretend we're an opposing coach. We pick a team. Then we say what we would say if we went to the podium to try to get into that opposing team's head. What mind games could we play with them? All right. The two teams we have to start this segment this week are the Lakers and the Warriors. Which team do you want to start with?
Let's start with the Lakers because I want to avoid the Warriors as much as possible.
Let's start with the Lakers. Your call, man. I'm happy to go first to give you some time to think. If you've got one to drop, what mind games would you play?
Let's start with yours.
So if I'm opposing coach for the Oakland Brams, and we're getting ready to play the Lakers, that I take the mic and I go out of my way and just praise LeBron to high heaven as much as I can. Incredible player, incredible legacy. He's done things we have never seen. That's probably why they've elected him to be the GM, coach, and guy who can do anything he wants. And I think it's incredible that when he makes a decision for the team, everyone else in the organization lays down for him. And I think his legacy deserves that. So credit to the Lakers, credit to LeBron. I think he should run everything they do. And then stop, you know, and hopefully get some follow-up questions on it.
Wow. I didn't know what journey you were going to take me on. I thought this was going to be a mind game to try to get everybody to turn against LeBron. I mean, that is some quality stuff right there.
Yeah, it might work. You know, who knows? You wouldn't get any responses back. And what you'd have to hope is that the next time, because it wouldn't really succeed in my game against them. You know, if I'm playing like that day, it's not going to pay out. But like over time, the next time LeBron is telling them JJ should be the coach, They're going to remember my fucking statement, and my mind game will be in there. Which one's yours?
That's it. We're on the same wavelength, because it's about taking down the organization. Because I don't think that you can really crack it on the player level like you did with, or, well, tried to do with Jaylen Brown. But so mine would be something along the lines of, listen, you know, and this works better in a final series unless you're trying to sow seeds for future doubt. But it's something to the effect of, you know, the Lakers are such a tremendous organization. It's incredible what they've pulled off, given how little they're willing, you know, how little money they've actually spent on this organization. It's amazing that they've made it this far when they're not even sending out scouts. They don't even seem to have a scouting department. These guys are working. They've like figured out everything at the margins. And at this point, it's a testament to how far they can make their dollar go that they've made it this far.
I like that. I like that a lot. I might add somewhere within either of those, the additional praise to LeBron of like, and I'm sure that everybody thought that Anthony Davis would come in and take responsibility, but I guess they haven't needed that. I guess they haven't needed that at all. And that's good, you know, because it doesn't seem like his body can handle any of the pressure, but again, they don't need it because LeBron runs everything. So that is great for them. Let's go to the Warriors. All right. So this one is a little bittersweet for me, but that's fine. Here's what I would say. Oakland Brams play the Warriors. I get an opportunity to take the mic. How can I get in their head? Here's the take. Look, Draymond Green, future Hall of Famer. No question. One of the best players I have ever watched. His values to this and past Warriors teams can't be measured, man. That's probably why, for example, they paid him instead of Clay. They let him chase KD and Jordan Poole right off the team. And they're fine. They're totally fine. When he misses 20 games with things that have nothing to do with injury or on the court material. And in fact, I thought maybe that when he supported Miles Bridges, even though the domestic violence thing was against Wiggins' sister-in-law, even when he did that, there was no repercussions. It just shows how valuable he is to the team. So credit to Draymond Green and everything he means to this organization.
Brutal.
Ugly. The Miles Bridges thing is real ugly. I almost didn't include that. But I mean, look, but we're fucking playing mind games. We got if we're playing mind games, we got to drop some mind games.
Well, this is why I said I'm trying to push this off, man. When it's like I don't really want to think about this too much. And yet here we are. I would sit down at the podium. I would wait for everybody to be fully silent. I would take a couple of breaths and then I would say, Steph leaked the video.
you'd have to couch it. You couldn't say it. You'd have to be like, Steph sent me a copy. You know what I mean? Like, who would know whether or not you'd know?
That's so good.
I know, like, it's weird. It's weird that they've been looking to see who leaked that. And I know we will never know. But what's always stuck out to me, I thought that was weird because Steph did send me a copy before it went fucking public. All right, you win that round.
That would disintegrate. I mean, that's like the chances of Steph then being on the New York Knicks the following season are so much higher. Yeah, the chances of the Oakland Brams taking over the mantle for Bay Area sports franchise from the Golden State Warriors is pretty high.
You insinuate a bunch too. You back out your phone. It's like, he sent me a lot of it. You know what? We don't have
But then leave the phone unlocked, just up where you can see it on the text thread. Weird.
There's a lot of stuff he sent me that you wouldn't think he would send. But I mean, here it is. It's right here. But you know, I won't share. We don't have to share. I'm just saying that it's out there. Yeah, good stuff, man. All right. Well, I don't know if we're going to be coaching teams in anytime soon, but if we are, we will be ready for our moment up at the podium, man. Shit. That's all I got for this week. Appreciate you. If you're out there listening and you liked what we did, you didn't like what we did, you want to get us a question, concern, anything, you can shoot us an email to
huddle@warriorshuddle.com.
We are on social media sites everywhere, Twitter, Instagram. You can think of a site we're most likely on it to check. Right in Warriors Huddle, and up will pop. With that in mind, go Warriors! Hopefully, we'll see you real soon.
Good, good.
New Balance recently announced the addition of All-American Cooper Flagg to the NB family, joining Cameron Brink and an elite player roster in the brand's mission of growing the game with the next generation of athletes. In part of New Balance's ongoing commitment to supporting athletes off the court, the Boston-based brand plans to work with Cooper on community initiatives in his home state of Maine. To shop the two-way V5, Hessilo V2, and all new Balance basketball products, visit newbalance.com today.